Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, Mother, I ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds to be receptive and to give us greater understanding and more knowledge and wisdom so that we, Father, can be of greater help in your work in the field of harvest, to help others to see that they stand in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, also in order to make heaven their home. Be with us throughout this time of study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, if you've got your stuff ready for communion, we're going to start out here with communion. So let us pray for that. Father, as we go to the Lord now and in His remembrance, Father, partake of this that we call communion. Be with each and every one of us, Father. And let us always do this in remembrance of the Lord. And it's in that sweet, precious name of Jesus that we do this. And if we have done anything, Father, that has not been pleasing in thy sight, forgive us. And we ask this also in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You got your bread now. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." He took all those stripes, his flesh being tore open till he was almost beyond even recognition, and the blood flowing from that. And you know, it's those stripes that gives you and I healing today. So let us take our bread, as he told us, to take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Take your bread. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And we need to remember how he lost his blood. Because you see, he lost that blood from 7 different places of his body. And we do need to remember that. Take your cup. For as often as you eat this bread, in this cup you do show the Lord's death till he come. And may the Lord bless each. Now, as we get into our study for the evening, we know that we'll receive something good. Because as we study the Word of God, it all has something good for each and every one of us. Now we're going to be in Hebrews, and we're going to be picking up here with chapter 2. We had, this morning, we had finished with chapter 1. We're going to get into chapter 2 now, because you see, we're dealing here with salvation, Christ's work, you know, in salvation. Now, we've only got 18 verses, but there is a whole lot in these 18 verses. All right, beginning here with verse 1, says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." 2, "For if the word spoken by angels were steadfast in every transgression, and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And you know, when we look at those four verses, we know that this book of Hebrews contains five warnings. And these passages contain much exhortation, but also some explicit warnings, a danger sign. This first passage warns, do not neglect Christ's message, since God has no greater messenger than his son. He has no more important message than the gospel which the son has given. And if the law given through angels were steadfast, producing sure judgment, how shall we escape if we ignore the sure message of the son? This message was proclaimed by Christ to his apostles and then by the apostles to the author of Hebrews. And for further discussion regarding the significance of this verse on authorship of Hebrews, we know and looked at the instructions this morning and found quite a bit written there for us. Most usually, those that read the Bible never look at that page that gives us at the beginning of each and every epistle. They never look at it, let alone read it, and study to see what it has to say. And there's usually a lot there. All right, now, you know, God verified the Son's message with miracles and gifts and the Holy Ghost. We find that there in verse 4, and the author states that these signs and gifts were given to the first generation witnesses. He does not suggest that his readers possessed these same miraculous gifts. The phrase, gifts of the Holy Ghost, could refer to God's bestowal of the Holy Spirit himself upon every believer. You know, or more likely it refers to the gifts given by the Spirit. And you see, the thing of it is here, that we are given the Holy Spirit to guide you and I and to see that our hearts and minds are clear and ready to receive the things of Almighty God. And he brings us power and knowledge and wisdom to be able to do the things that God will ask of you and I to do. And yes, we are all to do a lot of the things that the disciples were doing in the first century. are the first generation of the church. Just as Jesus was doing in his ministry. Because you see, Jesus told us himself back in Matthew. But we were saying it. That the things and the works that he was doing, all, that's what he stated, all that believe on him could do those things, and even greater would they do. And he told us why, was because he went back to the Father. And then he sent the Holy Spirit to us to see that we are able to do these things. So don't let no footnote in your Bible that man has put in there telling you that God didn't aim for you to do them. Because that's not so. That is not according to the word that is written. And there's a lot of that going on today in a lot of our churches that has grown weak and growing weaker each and every day because they have let Satan in and bringing a lot of things in that should never have been let in the front door of their place of meeting and coming together, let alone to be put into their minds and their hearts. Now, here in verse 5, for unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? 7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. We may not see all things that is put under the Lord in our lifetime here on earth, because everything has been put under him. 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You know, when we go to look at those verses, we find there, if Christ became a man and partook of death, how can he be superior to the angels? This apparent contradiction presently answered as reasonable and logical. The writer states that the angels do not have authority in the world to come throughout the past and present ages. Angels have administered judgment on man at Sodom on Israel, on kings, and during the great tribulation. In the age to come, angels will have no authority over the saints. In fact, the saints will judge angels. Quoting Psalms 8, the author shows that man will rule in God's coming age. Describes man as made by God a little lower than the angels, a little, has two possible interpretations. It can refer to time for a little while or degree, a little lower. Both concepts are true, but the second fits the context better. Although God has made man slightly lower than the angels for the present, he also has crowned him with glory and honor and set him over his creation. And man is the capstone and crown of God's creation into man's hands. God will ultimately place his creation as he proclaimed from the moment of creation. God will ultimately place his creation into man's hands through Christ. By death, Christ will again for man what he lost by sin and death, namely the dominion over the world. The author interprets all things to mean that God left nothing, including angels, independent of man's dominion. So as man, Jesus will rule the earth. He to whom world dominion is divinely committed is greater than the angels who do not have this privilege. And you see, and as we look, we find that verse 8 ends with the confession that man's present status does not suggest that he will someday be over all creation, but Christ's status does. Unlike man, he already has been crowned, and because of his identity with the victory for man, he makes Psalms 8 a future reality for man. Death is one significant quality that makes man lower than the angels. But he, Christ, has conquered death for man. You see, because of Christ and our acceptance of him and going through him to become that living child of Almighty God, and when we step out of this life into eternity to receive what God has for us, we are no longer, because with his word, as we have read before and also read tonight, will judge angels. And we know that this 1,000-year reign that Christ is coming the second time to set up, and he will be bringing us with him, and we are to be working with him and ruling with him over all of this world. There will be a time again to where Christ and us will have dominion over the things of this world. These are things we need to always know and look for and forward to. Now, 10. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. You see, the concept of a suffering Messiah was a real stumbling block to the Jews, and the author tackles this problem by declaring that the suffering of the cross were an integral part of God's redemptive plan. In fact, Christ was made perfect through the suffering of death. Not that his deity lacks perfection, but his humanity was vocationally perfected. That is, as man, Jesus was enabled through suffering to become the captain of man's salvation. Suffering allows him to experimentally emphasize with us, and death was the means of his destroying Satan and securing our redemption. Now, you see, these are things we've got to look forward to yet, and things that you and I need to be wanting beyond the things of this earth to be a part of. And that is being a part of the family of Almighty God and taking part in the things that he has not only here for us, but has waiting for us when we step out of this life and into eternity. 11. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers. You see, he's not ashamed of those that have become the children of God. So why would you be ashamed of him? And if you are a child of God and you have been born again, you will not be ashamed of him. You will be willing to take on death. So that you don't become ashamed of him, or so you don't deny him. Think about these things. Because it is coming to where mankind is going to have to choose to either follow the Lord Jesus or to follow the Antichrist and the ways of this world. And to follow the Antichrist and the ways of this world will mean separation from God, your seat in hell, and eventually that place that all will go, as the Bible tells us, the lake of fire that will burn for eternity. That is coming. We are told in the Word several times, not just once, but several times, we are told about it. And we are told to choose the Lord Jesus Christ if we want to make heaven our home. All right, now. Well, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And that's something we all need to be doing. 13. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. That's why we are to raise our children in church. We may raise our children in church once they reach their adult age and they get away from us. A lot of them choose to walk different. They don't even want to associate with us. Think about that. But that's true. But we are to raise them in the church. And I did mine. Now, 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil. And we know that with his death and resurrection, he defeated Satan in everything. And that's why you and I don't have to have no part of Satan and his ways. That's why we have been given the authority to use the name of Jesus against Satan, the devil. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit backing us up. We do not have to let him in. He does not have that kind of power over the children of Almighty God. All right, 15. And deliver them who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He's going to be able to deliver them all. Think about that. They have been subject to bondage. Bondage of sin that Satan had and was holding them with. That's why you and I go out and carry the gospel to those that are walking in darkness, that is walking and doing the things of Satan in their life. And we go out to get them, to bring them back and bring them out of darkness and into the light and to the Lord Jesus Christ for their repenting and their forgiveness so that they also can begin making heaven their home getting into the Word of God and growing stronger each and every day, to where Satan will not be able any longer to hold them in bondage. They'll be free. Now, 16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Here the 16th chapter is talking about Jesus. He didn't take on him the nature of angels when he came to earth. He took on him the seed of Abraham. In other words, he took on him the form of mankind, humanity. And for 30 years, he walked just like you and I, subject to everything, subject to all the temptations and everything, just as we are. And he did it without sin. Said, yeah, but he was Son of God. He had the Holy Spirit. No. First 30 years, he didn't. That's why he is an example for you and I. He didn't receive that Holy Spirit to live with him until he was baptized by John in the river. And that's when he received the Holy Spirit, and it came to him. It said, as the form of a dove. In other words, that's what it looked like. Because they all saw it. It was there. Now, 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brother, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. He was our sacrifice, and he became our forgiver and our deliverer. He is our Prince of Peace. Think about it. And in order for you and I to make heaven our home, or even to talk with God, the Father, to go through him, there is no other way. Now, this last verse, 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. You see, because he knows about these temptations, and he suffered being tempted, and yet he was without sin. He knows how to guide you and I to keep us out and away from sin. Think about these things. But you see, a lot of mankind are still mocking him, still laughing at him, still denying him, still rejecting him. And they're going to split hell wide open. All that will not accept him and go to him and repent and receive him as their Lord and Savior will split hell open and end up with him, all of his demons, and all that has rejected the Lord, and hell itself in that lake of fire. I can't say anything only, but for myself, I don't want that. What about you? All right. We've come to the end now, to chapter 18. We're going to stop here. I pray that you have received something that you have been comforted with, that you have received something that has brought you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ in all your ways, and that you want more and more and more of him each and every day. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I now close the word. And I thank you, Father, for this word for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, for those that have been with me, that has listened to me, Father, and those that have joined with me in your work, in your word. And I pray, Father, that each and every one of them move closer and stronger with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem, peaceful. But more than that, we pray for them, those that are still trying to follow the law, come out from that and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Messiah. Father, this land of ours is filled with so much evil. Those that are evil in our higher offices, I pray for them to be replaced, Lord, with those that are walking in righteousness, to love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church, your people, and this land. And that will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and to bring our government and put it back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for each and every one that has listened this evening to walk closer with the Lord through this night, and may they rest. And I ask that they be kept in health and peace, filled with joy. You'll be back with us in the morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and back into your word. Father, this is my prayer this evening, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day and a great night. Praise the Lord. Good night, all.